Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
93.7 The Fan, live from Pirates Fest 2020 at PNC Park. Chris Mack of The Fan Morning Show with you. Pleased to be joined by the voice of the Pirates, Greg Brown. Brownie, how you doing, man?
Chris, what happened to the crowd? I noticed it was easy for me to get to this table. When I first walked in here about 20 minutes ago, I couldn't even see you.
Well, Josh Bell was here.
Oh, that's what it was. So,
yeah,
oh, okay.
And then the crowd quickly dispersed. it was like when they used to chase the Beatles down the street.
Yes, that's exactly
Josh
right.
Bell leaves and they just chase
that's
him down
exactly
the hall.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great to see you again.
How's your offseason been so far?
It's flying. It's flying. It's been a lot of fun, too. I've enjoyed it. I've had my respite and I'm about ready to go. Starting to chomp at the bit a little bit.
We'll be back in Bradenton in a few weeks.
Yeah. You guys going to go down there?
Yeah, the morning show, we will be down there in the middle of March.
Just you. You're going to leave Dunlap up here, right?
No. We take Colin with
us.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll
That's
be
good.
Down
That's
there
right.
the week of St. Patrick's Day, which
cool.
will be nice.
Oh, it's good for Colin, for certain.
Yeah,
and you.
Yeah, so three or four home games that week, too, including
nice.
A night game, I think. A lot more night games at Lee-Com this year. So, looking forward to seeing baseball again. Just in talking with Josh a couple minutes ago, Josh Bell, and for those of you that missed it, you can always use the rewind feature on your radio.com app or just download the podcast. Matt Harkins, our producer, hard at work back in the studio putting those podcasted interviews up right now at 93.7thefan.com. He is insistent, Josh is, that given the way they hit the ball at their peak last year and given the fact that they'll be getting a fully healthy Gregory Polanco back in the middle of this order, he really believes they can again be what they were, which was at times last year the best offense on paper in the National League.
I love the optimism, enthusiasm. I guess this time of year most teams have that.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic, maybe underscore cautious with Gregory because I fell into a trap because I thought that last year after the surgery and when he came back, he was ready to go. And when he first started out, he came out guns a-blazing and struggled and then shut it down. So my fingers are crossed that he will be healthy and ready to go because he is obviously is a huge part of the offense, as is Josh Bell and Frazier and the rest. And the other thing, too, is you know we've talked so many times about, Chris, that I want to see how they get their pitching straightened out, too, because that's so critical.
I'm glad you mentioned that because the majority of the day, you know, I had the left side of the infield on, Colin Moran and Kevin Newman, so talking a lot about offense with those two and glove work as well, but then Josh Bell. And I haven't really had time to talk about the pitching staff and just the number of question marks there. Can Trevor get back to what he was 2 years ago? Can Joe Musgrove continue to be a workhorse? I mean, that's a lot of innings he ate up last year. Does that affect him coming into this year? Do we see growth from Mitch Keller that I think so many people are impatient for? And does Chris Archer look like Chris Archer again? Do we ever hit that point with him? So the multitude of questions in the rotation, and then it's just you're excited, I think, to get arms like Santana and Cool back, but the question of how they'll fit in. I'm glad you brought up pitching because, obviously, haven't had a chance to talk about it yet this afternoon, and that was the biggest stumbling block last year.
And who knows what the new regime will be like. I mean, maybe sometimes they get messages across better than others. Mm-hmm. You see it often when trades are made. Change of scenery trades where guys just take off after the change of scenery. And to a degree, that's kind of what this is going to be for all the players, for all of us. It's a change. I will say I've already read and felt and heard some things, and I always use this disclaimer now, Chris. I have to do this.
Right.
This is with no disrespect to who was here previously. Again, that's the disclaimer.
Sure.
But I like the feel around here. I feel like I've said to people, you know, this team may lose 90 games. I don't know. They may win 90, but I know this is going to be as much fun as I've had broadcasting this team and watching this team play in a long time. I just know it. I loved what Josh said and quoted the other day. It's subtle. He said something like, this doesn't look like we're going to have any of the eyewash that we've had. That was a direct quote. He used that word. And again, no disrespect.
Right.
I also read something today or yesterday about the fact that there's not going to be, Derek Shelton has said, we're not just going to have meetings to have meetings. There were a ton of meetings the last few years. That's a fact. I was, to be honest with you, stunned that over the last many years, during the season, now I'll have to take this back if this happens again, because maybe this is standard in baseball and I'm old school, but it didn't make much sense to me that during the season, the manager and players individually, and you were there, would be taking up hours before a ball game to talk about next season.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't say that then, but I can say it now. Does that make sense to you?
No.
You're trying to go out and win a game in 2019, and you're meeting with the manager about 2020.
Yeah.
About things you have to do. Like,
a
I felt like
month
saying,
and a half left.
Well, not
yeah.
that, but there are games to be played here.
Yeah.
What are you? You're talking about we're meeting with guys to determine what has to be done for them to improve in 2020 while 2019 is going on.
It felt like a lot of people, and I got this sense from my conversation with Josh Bell just a moment ago, that a lot of people, when they collapsed the way they did in the second half, had sort of cashed out on 2019 and were just waiting for the end of the year to get here, and that it was almost a relief for some people when the end came. And I don't know, maybe that's indicative of that 2019 had been given up on maybe too early, even though mathematically you may not be in it anymore, that you still want to go out there and win as many ball games as you can, to your point.
Again, I may regret saying this now, but I will, because it wasn't just 2019 for my money. I'm sorry. There were times when the last couple plus years I felt like, and again, I'm not blaming anybody in particular, it's just the atmosphere was guys cashed out, and I thought it was it surprised me. It really did.
So I guess we'll put it this way. If a re-engagement of sorts from some people buys them a few extra wins this year, where did the rest come from? Or, I mean, they're not as bad as the 69-win team that they put on paper last year, I don't think, although a lot of people will say, well, that's the result. That's what they are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, where do the improvements come from this year? In your mind, where do you see them coming from?
Well, I guess, you know, the obviously the pitching, the bullpen turned out to be kind of a I thought it was going to be a strength. I guess, you know, you could say that I'm not relying personally on Chad Cole being a strong member of the starting rotation, because I think history shows that Tommy John guys don't just step into the rotation and perform well. Mm-hmm. I do think Tommy John guys do gradually get back into the rotation, but by doing that, they go and help out the bullpen. You know, I think that just the whole game plan is going to be different. From Travis Williams to Ben Cherington to Derek Shelton to the new coaching staff. And by the way, a lot of my friends are no longer with this organization. So I'm going to keep saying that disclaimer. But I think maybe there is a different message. And there's something to the fact that for a long time they played really good baseball. That offense was high-powered for that first half of the season, and something went awry, not just in the offensive department, the pitching staff. I like the fact, I think the base running will be different. I think there's going to be more of less of the meetings, and I'll use Josh's words, eyewash, and more of things that really count. Glenn Sherlock was talking the other day at an event. I was at a caravan event in Indiana, and he talked about how, and Donnie Kelly, who I think is a huge addition as the bench coach, because he gets it, that when you go out, like during batting practice, he was asked this yesterday by a Point Park baseball player about what keys are to success in so many words, and he talked, and especially if you play other positions, and Donnie Kelly mentioned, you know, during batting practice, just don't go through the motions.
Right.
Like, make it count. If you're out there, like, shag some fly balls, make it count, and maybe in the middle of March I'll be saying to myself, well, I guess things really are just standard this way in baseball. But for a long time, John Wehner has talked about this with me that when he, during batting practice, you know, the guys will take their first round and then they'll run the bases and supposed to do things where take leads and get jumps on, and they don't really care. But John talked about how what made him a good base runner was that kind of thing, the attention to detail. And even during batting practice, to care.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just flippantly, you know, take a little bit of a lead. Okay, fly
jog
ball.
Down
and go,
a second.
You know, yeah. Make it count. And I'm hopeful. My fingers are crossed that those little things and the communication now between the manager and the players will be different. To know when, not based on the Golden State Warriors, because I guess we did that a few years ago. We checked on what the Golden State Warriors did. I mean, what? To see how when they needed rest to start.
Right.
You don't need, you know, when you know a guy needs rest?
When he's tired.
When the manager goes up to him and says, hey, I noticed, you know, you got a little slow out of the box. You think, well, you know, I could use a blow, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you.
Right.
Now, you'll have off tomorrow. I'll take care. I'll tell the media what we're doing. That's what you do. And,
yeah.
And that's why I see Derek Shelton as that kind of a guy, like a Leland type.
Right.
Again, that's my hope.
Well, no, those comparisons have already been made by some people.
All that stuff for me adds up to maybe it's just a game or two a month, but then that over a long season, that can be a huge difference.
Greg Brown, the voice of the Pirates with us here on 93.7 The Fan. We're live from Pirates Fest. And, Brownie, I'm glad you mentioned the name Jim Leland, not just in, you know, and you're not the only one to make those comparisons to Derek Shelton, but the unveil of the new jerseys yesterday. As a kid who grew up in Pittsburgh in the 80s and early 90s, that was instant, like, throwback to Barry Bonds on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Andy Van Slyke diving across the turf, the Pittsburgh script, grays especially, and I like the black ones. Those are really, I really like those. But that instant flashback to when I remember a ball club that, and think of the doldrums of the 80s and all the things that went on during the 80s, sort of from the end of Dave Parker's tenure all the way up through, you know, 86. I remember being a kid who his first ball game was 1986, and, you know, and then coming to probably 20 ball games in 87 when you were the PA announcer, and watching the growth of that team. Bonds, Bonilla, Drabeck, Smiley, Van Slyke, the Tony Pena trade, and crying about it at first, and then being excited about it because of the guys that were added.
Typical fan.
Yes. Yes. But and again, it's just an emotional trigger went in me when I saw that gray Pittsburgh with the script Pittsburgh across the front. I don't know if it takes you back to that time as well, but you've been involved with the organization for 40 years now, in one way or another, 35 of the last 40 years anyway. That was just, it was really cool to see.
Well, I heard that, and frankly, for me, actually, I was in Buffalo during that stretch of
right,
winning team,
right.
So, but I've heard that from others, and I think that's cool. And I the reaction, what we unveiled it yesterday, and I was in the clubhouse before the media got in there, and Joe Musgrove was walking around, and I said, tell me the truth. He goes, I think they're cool.
Yeah.
So I like that. The players and the fans think that the uniform is cool. I think that's important. And I like the fact that it is a throwback to the winning years of the early 90s, and to your point, that takes you back to that time. I think that's really neat. And I like the fact, too, that when we're on TV in St. Louis or San Diego or Chicago, or mm-hmm. that Pittsburgh is there. I
right.
think that's really cool, too. That's what I like a lot.
Well, Brownie, I'll let you run. We can't wait to catch up with you down in Bradenton in a few weeks.
Look forward to it, man. We'll have a water or two.
A green water or
yes.
two on St. Patrick's Day, maybe.
Can we get Colin out?
I think we could pull that
okay.
off.
Okay, all right, let's
maybe.
Do it, man.
As long as he gets home and gets to sleep by like 7 o'clock.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right.
He's on that old man schedule.
Understand.
With the morning show. So, Brownie, thanks so
man.
Much.
Thanks,
really
Chris.
Appreciate it. Greg
thanks
Brown,
for being
voice
here,
of the Pirates.
Man. Thank you, guys.
Here with us at Pirates Fest 2020.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.